because He has spoken to our hearts. You're not here today by accident. You're here because of the calling of God, because He wants to minister to you, either through music or maybe through the message, or maybe you're here because God wants to use you to bring encouragement, to touch, to share testimony. Whatever it may be, this is not by accident. And so this morning, I hope that you're open to what He might say to you today, and maybe say to you so that you, He might use that which He says to make a difference in somebody else's life. And so let me ask you a question today. What comforts you? What brings comfort to you? What is it that helps you during the challenging and difficult times of life? Okay, Deb, good. What comforts you? Hymns, okay. Well, likes the hymns. What comforts you? What helps you? What brings you back maybe to center when life may be spinning out of control? Oh, good. Lydia, great. Sleep, okay, good. Sometimes we need to just rest. Well, this morning, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? We'll be reading out of Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 21. And as always, let's take a moment and pray. Oh, Father, we've come today. And Lord, in all honesty, I don't know what my brothers and sisters have been through. I don't know where they've journeyed. I don't know the hills. I don't know the valleys. I just know that You are with us even during those times that we don't recognize You. And Lord, I know that You're ever present and You are constantly striving to speak to us. And so I pray that You would do that as we open Your Word, as we hear from You this day. We pray that in each one of our lives that Your living Word would do what You desire it to do in our lives, not necessarily our neighbor's life, but in our lives. And so we've come and we've stood in surrender to You, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test Him. They asked Him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, "Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it." Then He left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. "Be careful," Jesus warned them. "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." They discussed this with one another and said, "Is it because we have no bread?" Notice here in the middle of our text, the focus of the disciples. What is their focus on? Food. Their focus is on the physical. Their focus is on right, what's right in front of them. That's what they're seeing. Let's go on. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" 12, they replied. "And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" They answered, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated today. When COVID-19 struck, what was one of the first things to go off the shelves at many stores? Do you remember what it was? Yes, but not only that, Do you realize that also one of the great commodities during that time, besides TP, was yeast? People could not find yeast on shelves. You see, during the midst of the beginning of the COVID, people started baking bread. And when no yeast could be found, do you remember the next craze that happened because of that? People started making sourdough bread. Okay, that became the great craze that was taking place. Now, we didn't do that because really we shouldn't eat much bread, but we didn't do the sourdough things. But you realize that sourdough is made simply by taking a little bit of flour, a little bit of water, and then setting it in a warm place where it can be activated or where it can be fermented. You see, what we may not know is sourdough bread still uses yeast, but it's yeast that is found in the environment. You see, yeast is a single-celled fungi that feeds on sugars, and it gives off CO2. That's why the bread raises. Now, we understand that as we talk about bread, bread is the cornerstone of life. It's a simple, yet hearty, and comforting food. And maybe that's the reason why people ran to it at the beginning of the COVID, because they didn't know what was taking place. You see, if people could just get some bread, maybe they would feel a little bit more manageable, a little bit more comfortable. Maybe they would have a little bit more control. You know, as we look at our text, maybe that's exactly the way that the people felt as Jesus feeds the 4,000. Here they are. They had been without food for 3 days. I'm sure that they were getting distressed. And if there were any kids around them, I'm sure that the kids were complaining and moaning. And so I'm sure that it was a trying time. And yet Jesus brings comfort to them. And so this morning, let's look at our outline. This morning, the outline for our text is we're going to look at the feeding, we're going to look at the fullness, and we're going to look at the focus. The feeding of the 4,000 really helps us to inform our text that we're looking at today. The verses just prior to our passage tell us about this story and about what Jesus does with the feeding of the 4,000. This story really is like the feeding of the 5,000 that we've read about earlier, except for there is one major difference in this text. Here in the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus is in a Gentile area. He's in an area where there are not Jews. And so he is feeding those who are Gentiles. And this is an important truth for us to understand. It's an important truth in the context of the people that it was written to, but I really think that it's an important truth for us. You see, here in this text, he is telling us that the gospel, that Jesus' message, that Jesus is available to everybody, not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. You see, in Mark 6, the disciples have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In our text, they have 7 loaves and a few small fishes. In Scripture, what we understand is that the number 7 is an important number. That the number 7 means or denotes wholeness and completion. When the disciples clean up the leftovers, there are 7 baskets full. In the other story, in the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12. Now, we understand that that number 12 would speak to the Jewish listener. The Jewish listener would understand and relate the number of 12 to the 12 tribes of Israel. You see, what we understand here is that God is doing something inclusive. He's doing something inclusive in the Jews and in the Gentiles. In other words, what he's doing is he's doing something that's inclusive of our entire world. We don't see any conditions placed here, do we? We don't see, well, I'm not really for the people who are on drugs. I'm not really for the prostitute. I'm not really for those who have tattoos. I'm not really for. We don't see that here, do we? But I wonder if it's too easy for us to put up barriers to people. I wonder if it's too easy for us to look at them, just like probably the Jews looked at the Gentiles. Oh, they're unclean. Oh, they're not in. Oh, they don't have it all together. Oh, they don't know what I know. See, that's not Jesus at all. We see that this feeding that Jesus does is a Eucharistic act. Jesus is breaking bread, is giving thanks to God, and extending the bread to people, to all people. The people are given grace in this gift of food. And it also shows us, see this as well and don't miss the point. Not only does God give to us, but he gives to us in abundance. Because our stories, none of our stories say, well, boy, they just had enough, right? Boy, they got to the end and it was the last piece of bread. We don't see that, do we? No, we see with both stories of the feeding of the thousands that there was bread left over. And it says something to us about our God, that God wants to pour out his grace in abundance to all of us. It says to us that everyone is welcome in the kingdom of God, no matter the color of your skin or what you have or have not done with your life. And aren't you grateful for that, my friends? Aren't you grateful that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how many times you've blown it, that God's grace is still extended to you? Yes, amen, David. Thank you. David said generously. Absolutely. Or, as our text would say, in abundance. My friends, you can never outgo the grace of God. And so let's go on. Despite the abundance of the feeding miracles, when Jesus begins to talk about the yeast of the Pharisees, the disciples assume that he's chastising them, right? Chastising them because they've only brought one loaf of bread on the boat. There's a comparison here between the abundance of God and the myth of scarcity. The disciples are worried about not having enough bread because they only have one loaf. They have completely forgotten about what God just did. I mean, come on, think about it. Jesus just fed the 4,000, and here they're thinking that Jesus is going to chastise them or is chastising them for only having one loaf. They forget about the great provision of Jesus. Though the disciples do not have enough, Jesus produces an abundance for them. You see, my friends, it's so easy for us to forget about the abundance of God's grace in the midst of our scarcity as well. Instead of looking for the creativity of God's provision, we think about what we don't have. We think about what we're missing. Think about during the times of the quarantine. What did people do? We kind of saw the worst in people, didn't we? Yeah, because what did they do? They began to hoard because they were afraid as they saw things going off the shelf. But what should they have been doing? Yeah, exactly. You all got it. They should have been sharing, because isn't that exactly what Jesus do? That's good. Yeah, you can tell I went to Bible college. Yeah. Isn't that what Jesus does? You see, we often forget about the abundance of God's grace when we're facing times of difficulties or trials. We forget about the feeding of the 4,000. We forget about the feeding of the 5,000. We forget about the miraculous ways that Jesus healed. But you see, God is calling us to be people who share. Calls us to be people who shares and share. And when we do, you know what God does, just like he did in these miracles. God often multiplies. God often multiplies things by our sharing. When we divide our bread, there is enough for all. Now Jesus here is comparing the goodness and grace of the bread he has to offer with the infectious nature of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. You see, Jesus' bread is plentiful. There's no shortage. Hear this. There's no shortage in the kingdom of God. What scripture do we often quote when we think about money and the abundance of God? Come on, what's the one we often quote? What about the hills? I'm giving you a hint. No, not a fool in their money do part. Good, but what do we think about? Well, what about the cattle? Now I've given you a better. Yeah, it's 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. We use that because we see that again, that speaks to us of the abundance of God. You see, again, there's no shortage in the kingdom of God. God here, Jesus here, is extending grace and proclaiming a kingdom of inclusion. The grace of God is given to all who will receive it. Now, as we look at the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, they exist in stark contrast to the grace of Jesus. Herod, the king, he's in a position of power and authority. But do we know what King Herod does? He abuses his power, Deb, that's right. In fact, he abuses it so much, we see in history that what he did is Herod, because he didn't want to share his power, he had his sons killed. His sons were murdered because he was not willing to share the power that he has. You see, in his kingdom, there is not enough for everyone, let alone an abundance. In his kingdom, in the kingdom of Herod, we fight to get what we want. And you know what we do? We keep what we have. That's what people did during the pandemic. They went out and bought a bunch of stuff. And then if some were entrepreneurs, what they did is they not only kept enough for themselves, but then they scalped those things and sold them for exorbitant prices. You see, it's a kingdom about self. It's a kingdom what we can get out of it. As we look at the Pharisees' focus was on the law versus grace. They constantly tried to trap Jesus as he heals on the Sabbath and gives to others. And when they criticized Jesus' acts performed on the Sabbath, they missed the point that the laws are all, they missed the point of the laws they tried to keep. Their religion is about self-righteousness more than truly about being righteous. When they show gratitude, do you know how they show gratitude? They show gratitude by saying, hey, look how righteous we are, and look how bad those people are. And they put other people down. You see, the kingdom of the Pharisees and of Herod is a kingdom of exclusion, of keeping for ourselves instead of inclusion. The Pharisees were focused on who was in and who was out. They avoided those who were unclean and deemed unworthy. Herod was the same, even though the motivation may have been different. There were those who were in and those who were out. We've seen this in our world, don't we? We see it all the time. The powers of those who are in. We see cliques being formed, and there's the power of those who are in and those who are out. I've seen it many times in churches, my friends. I've seen it when, boy, did you hear what that pastor did? Did you see how bad that pastor is? And you know what happens next? They go and they speak to David. And they say, David, did you know how bad he is? Did you see what he did? Did you see the way he smirked? Did you hear that lousy joke he said? And then David goes and tells Bernie, that's a lousy pastor. Did you hear what he did? And Bernie goes to tell somebody else. And pretty soon, We've gathered our forces. And we've included people in our own little groups to make us feel good. I'm afraid, my friends, I think sometimes we've done that in the church as well. We've liked our holy huddles. We've liked gathering around each other. And boy, we kind of put up walls to people coming inside. You see, anytime, whether it's cliques in the church or government, you often put up walls or barriers, or you create systems to keep the enemies out. But in contrast, in the kingdom of God, what are we called to do? We're called to love our enemies. You see, the nature of the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod was that their harmful ideas and theologies so easily spread. Think about the earlier example of the sourdough bread. You just take the water in the bread and you put it in a warm environment. But the yeast is all around. The yeast is everywhere. And my friends, this type of thinking, this type of behavior so easily spreads around in our world. It's so easy to get caught up into legalism, in exclusion, and in the creation of enemies. It's easy to get trapped. Hear this. It's so easy to get trapped in the idea of scarcity. Let me ask you, all of you, is there any single one of you that has gone without a meal unless you wanted to go without a meal in your lifetime? Anyone? Anyone, raise your hand. Anybody? No. Probably not. If you're anything like me, I'll admit that I've got two refrigerators in my house, and they're full of stuff. We don't really understand scarcity. And God has provided for us abundantly. And so then why? Why do we fight to keep what we have? Why do we hoard? Why do we cling so tightly to that which is temporal? Let's go on. What the disciples did not get is what we don't get as well. Despite the miracles happening in front of them, the disciples still did not understand the radical work of Jesus. They were living with the vision of the world and not the vision of the kingdom of God. My friends, what a challenge to us as well. A challenge to us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. The idea to keep fixed on Him and not upon the temporal things that are going to blow away. They, the disciples, were concerned with not having enough. Again, when they had just seen a miracle, they were susceptible to the ways of the world. And Jesus warns them about the yeast of Herod and the Pharisees because their ways are so insidious and easy to get trapped into. Hear that, my friends. The ways of the world are so easy for us to get trapped into. Easy. All around, we live in the midst of it. And how often do you and I forget about the miracles of God? How often? Because, you know, I don't know about you, but as I look at Scripture, I see all over the place that Jesus is telling us to remember. Right? In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, we take communion because Jesus tells us to remember. Because I think sometimes, and I'm pointing the finger at me, sometimes I think I've got more Alzheimer's than what I want to admit. Because sometimes it's so easy to forget all that God has done and all that God is doing. How often do we look at the world through the eyes of the world instead of looking at it through the eyes of the kingdom of God? Do we trap ourselves and others in the burden of legalism? Do we leave others out because we're focused on the law over grace? We believe the myth of scarcity, or do we live in the abundance of the kingdom? You see, part of living in the abundance of the kingdom, I believe, is living in the promises of God, living in faith of God, not just a mental faith of God, because it's easy for all of us to say, well, I love Jesus, but to live in that actively. So, my friends, are we willing to kill, as we see in Herod's life, to keep the power and the stuff we have? And you know, that's kind of a hard statement, let's admit that. But I wonder if we kill in other ways. I wonder if we destroy people with our words or with our actions or even with our avoidance of them. See, do we forget that our real sustenance comes from the bread of life, who is Jesus? So are you and I consumed with living the grace of Jesus, extending the grace of Jesus, being the grace of Jesus? And so as we conclude our message, we know that every culture has its own bread. From tortillas to sourdough to, what is that Indian bread called, naan or something like that? Okay, I got that right. Okay. You see, bread is the cornerstone of survival, and it reminds us in times of need that everything is going to be okay. Bread, we know, is what Jesus used to represent his body. On the last night that he was with the disciples, he said, "Take this and eat it in remembrance of me." Bread is a symbol to us of hope, grace, and inclusion to all who have been rejected by the world. My friends, we are people of bread. But whose bread are we consuming? Are we feasting on the bread of life? The bread of God's abundant grace, the bread of God's love and hope that we have in the kingdom of God? Are we allowing the yeast of the Pharisees and Herod, the yeast of legalism, the yeast of fear, the yeast of political power to control us? May we all learn to feast on the kingdom of God. And may we cleanse our home of this yeast. May we cleanse our home of those attitudes. And when I say a home, really, I'm really talking about these temples that God has given to us. May we cleanse our home of wrong allegiance to power, of legalism, and scarcity. And may we live in the abundance that Jesus has for us. My friends, if you're a Christian, you have nothing to worry about. God is a God who blesses abundantly. And so I close with this question. What are you feasting on? Do you find yourself at times grabbing so tightly onto things because you're afraid you just won't have enough? Are you grabbing on to control and power in your life because you're afraid maybe of what people might see or people might think, or that you may actually have to be vulnerable with people? What are you feasting on? Is your life a one loaf of bread life? If it is, it's miserable. And Jesus wants to remind you that he's a God of abundance. And you don't have to worry. He takes care of his own. And so will you trust him today? Again, I don't know what that issue is for you, but you do. And you know how God has spoken to you today. Would you remember the miracles of God? The miracles of God that he wants to do in your life all the time. He loves you. You're his own. You're the prize of his creation. Don't feast on stale bread. Feast on the goodness of God. And that's my challenge for you this week. Feast on the goodness of God. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer, please? Oh, Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for these reminders to us, Father. And Lord, you know each one of our propensities. You know which way we lean to. You know what we like to grab onto. You understand as well where our hearts are at. And Father, would you help us to grab onto you, to feast onto your goodness. And Lord, my prayer for all of us is that the bread of this world will become stale and taste terrible in our mouths. But may the bread of life become everything for us. May it be sweetness to us. And may our lives be focused upon you. Oh God, help my brothers and sisters as they journey this week. Go before them. Guide and direct them. And may you be glorified and honored through their lives. Thank you so much for them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Have a great week.